Before we get to this episode, I just want to let you know to stay tuned for info on how you, How Not to Sailor, can get Latitudes and Attitudes free online. So don't go anywhere. Well, that was an interesting time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you probably haven't listened to the previous episodes, in which case I highly recommend you go back and start with episode 1. After all, it's kind of this whole story. But who am I to tell you what to do? So, in the last couple of episodes, I made a rather grim discovery at the Miami Boat Show, one that put the whole premise of this trip in doubt. But like the stubborn and often willfully ignorant fellow that I am, I decided to soldier on. So I didn't get the ad for my podcast in the current and final episode of Cruising Outpost. But Captain Bitchin has assured me that it should be in the inaugural relaunch issue of Latitudes and Attitudes. And hopefully I can count on my intelligent and invariably handsome listeners to help me out. You did tell a friend about the podcast, right? Anyway, now it's time to make the 300-some-odd nautical mile trip back south, west, and finally north to Gulfport, Florida. My cutlass bearing seems to be holding in place like it's supposed to, and my electrical system, well, I'm still not quite sure how to keep it charged up properly. But it seems to be behaving more or less. What could possibly go wrong? So it's time to say goodbye to Miami and Biscayne Bay. But since I didn't get going until 11 or so, I'm going to stop about halfway down the bay to anchor for the night. I dropped the hook just off Shoal Point, which is just a stone's throw from Palmetto Bay, where I visited earlier with my cousins and my Uncle Mark. It feels good to be on the road again. On the road, huh?
Hang on, Lily.
Nope, can't do that. Don't want any royalty issues. Anyway, I cook something and have a beverage or two and enjoy a calm evening after all the craziness of Miami. I've come 353 nautical miles so far. Do you ever notice that when you're on vacation, you get up earlier than you do at home? I know I do. And it's even more of a thing when you're on a boat. And even more of a thing when it's a boat that you're solely responsible for and you're off somewhere out of the comfortable familiarity of the marina. I got up just after dawn to flip off the anchor light to save battery and then laid back down on the settee. When I finally turn out at 7:15, I discover two things. One, my house batteries are pretty low again. And two, the little piece of wood on a hinge that supports the middle of the settee has pulled away from the bulkhead. I'd already repaired it once, but apparently I need to learn some better repair skills. So there's yet another thing to add to my punch list, and it's not even 8 o'clock yet. As I cook up a couple of sausage patties and an omelet, I'm thinking I should probably, finally, trace the electrical circuits so I understand what's going on. But maybe I should wait till we're somewhere less roly. By 11 o'clock, I've made my decision. I call and talk to Caroline at Marathon Marina to reserve a slip 2 days from now. And by 11:45, I've weighed anchor. By 11:51, I've called Caroline back, having realized I plan on being in the slip tomorrow afternoon. By noon, I'm reaching down Biscayne Bay in a fresh breeze. We're sailing on our ear, because I still haven't learned how to reef the mainsail, and I'm running the engine, because that seems to charge the house batteries. Sometimes, anyway. Just after 1 o'clock, we're pinching through a narrow, skinny channel at Featherbed Bank when a powerboat coming north blows by without slowing down. I give them the one-finger salute. Around 2 o'clock, I decide to cut the engine, which means I have to cut off the fridge as well. I really need to figure out that charging system soon. By 3 o'clock, I'm approaching Angelfish Creek, so I roll up the jib and adjust the main as we head east between Palo Alto Key and Angelfish Key. This time through Angelfish Creek is less eventful than the first time, and by 3:39 I'm in the Atlantic and turning southwest toward Marathon. Toward sunset, I have some red wine in the plastic tumbler I had coffee in this morning, post some photos to Facebook and Instagram, and consider anchoring at Rodriguez Key, where I stopped on the way north. I could be on the hook at dusk, but I'm not sure either anchorage at Rodriguez is ideal today. It's good for north wind, south, or west, but not east. I decide to press on. The next refuge from the east wind is going to be at Matecumbe Harbor, another 30 miles away. There I can sail up the prosaically named Channel 5 and get inside the Keys and maybe anchor in some calmer water out of the wind. At 7 o'clock, the moon is so bright on our port quarter, it startles me when I turn to look aft. It's beautiful, though, and maybe it'll help me see any crab pots. The wind is no building as I sail through the evening, though, and by 9 o'clock, we're screaming down a broad reach at hull speed and 18 knots of wind on the port quarter. Due to crab pots, I cut the engine and hand steer to save power, but then put the engine back on in neutral. The waves are only 3 feet, but some slew us around and make me nervous since the main keeps slacking off and then popping back full. I furl the jib as we prepare to head up Channel 5, but even with the main eased out and the traveler all the way to port, we're flying up the channel. I really need to figure out how to reef the main. Inside the bridge, the wind is blocked a little and our speed decreases by a knot or two. Before long, I put her into the wind and get the main down. Of course, inside the bridge, there were also more crab pots. So, after passing a few very close aboard, I end up having to shift into neutral and put the jib out again to safely get over to where I want to anchor. Thankfully, I don't seem to have hit any crab pots, but as I'll find out again in a couple of days, sometimes fortune favors the how-not-to sailor. Anyway, after a long day and 66 miles, I'm finally at anchor in Matecumbe Harbor in Isla Mirada. And I'm seeing 4-foot-plus waves on the outside, so I think this was a good call. I should make a number of adjustments to prevent a bunch of things clanging and thumping, but I'm too tired. And tomorrow I need to get underway to Marathon. So the only thing happening now, I hope, is sleep. This time in the V-berth, since I haven't fixed the settee yet. But while we're all sleeping, I want to make good on that offer I teased at the beginning of this episode. As a special thank you from Bob Bitchin, who seems to have a soft spot for us How Not to Sailors, right now you can get Latitudes and Attitudes free online. Just go to hownottosail.com/thanksbob. And you can't miss it. As I've said before, this is the very magazine that ruined my life, and now you can get the online version free. Or if you prefer a nice, thick, glossy magazine you can hold in your chapped, salty hands, I'll also have a link where you can get that for only $25 a year. Again, that's hownottosail.com/thanksbob, with no spaces or anything. But now, back to where we left off at Matecumbe Harbor. In the morning, it starts to rain briefly. At 7 o'clock, I close the forward hatch above me, grab the binoculars from the cockpit, and lounge around in the V-berth for another hour. A look at my anchor app on the iPhone shows the wind was steady from the east-southeast all night. The boat icon floats in a mass of squiggles 100 feet west-northwest of the anchor icon. I decide to start a new thing called Anchor Art on Instagram. Maybe some people besides me will be easily amused. On the weather app, I see the headline, "Expect mess of snow and ice from winter storm Petra." Today's forecast here is for a high of 81 and a low tonight of 78. I play around with the camera a little because as the sun gets higher, I realize I'm in the most beautiful waters in the Keys. And I figure I've got a few minutes to play because the wind remains steady from the east. I shoot a picture of the cockpit pedestal with a half bottle of wine and my air horn on it and the turquoise water in the background, which, like many of the things I talk about, you can see in the show notes at HowNotToSail.com. One rather important thing I discover as I prepare to weigh anchor is my fuel gauge is currently sitting below E. I should probably learn to check that more often. But it looks like we'll actually be sailing in the sailboat today. I get underway around noon and sail out Channel 5 under the bridge. The watercolor is insane. This is one of the main things that contributed to my sailing problem from the moment I first came down here years ago. Outside the bridge, back in Hawk Channel, I turn right toward Marathon. The wind is definitely still with us. The following seas are about 4 feet, and we yaw and roll in the swells. I spot another sailboat heading southwest, and all through the early afternoon, I chase it. Because you know what they call two sailboats going the same direction. That's right, a race. I finally catch up to what turns out to be sailing vessel Life of Riley, round 1:30. Then the wind settles down a little, and they pass me. Apparently, they're running the Iron Jenny. I, however, cannot turn on the Iron Jenny since I only have a hint of fuel in the tank. But that's okay. We're making great time with the following wind. I just hope they're not headed into the marina because with not much fuel, I might just be a whole show coming in behind them. Probably with a sail up and who knows what. Sure enough, they make the turn north after Boot Key, but then they head west towards Moser Channel. That's good. As I get ready to head east into Boot Key Channel, I put the main down and call Fuel Dock Debbie to let her know I'm coming in. I leave the jib up, though, until I get close to the fuel dock. Belt and suspenders, don't you know? After filling up the fuel tank, I motor just up the way to slip 10. Where, of course, I decide to back in against the east wind. Without the assistance of Debbie and my new friend Barry in slip 9, I might have been there all day. But as usual, Debbie is more than patient and compliments me on going around as many times as necessary to avoid damaging the other vessels. Little do I know that this visit will be the last time I see Fuel Dock Debbie at Marathon Marina. But of course you knew that if you've already heard Episode 7. Nonetheless, according to my Instagram account, by 5:45 I am in the saltwater pool at Marathon Marina in late February, with a frozen rum runner in hand and a 4-night stay booked to charge my batteries, literally and figuratively, reprovision, and start fine-tuning my first podcast episode that's due out in a week. What could possibly go wrong? Stay tuned. tuned next time as we discover that fortune does sometimes favor the How Not to Sailor, collect some sound effects, and, well, I'm sure we'll figure it out. I need to give a special shout out to my very first Patreon patron, Captain Boomies. If you haven't seen her YouTube channel, you need to check it out. I've got the link in the show notes. Thank you so much. I hadn't even really mentioned the Patreon yet. I just dropped a little hint on Twitter, and guess who showed up first? Very cool. If you don't know, Patreon is a thing that lets you help your favorite creators create more. Plus some cool perks. I've had a number of folks ask, where's your Patreon page? So now I've got one set up at hownottosail.com/Patreon. I'll be adding some cool perks and swag, but just know you won't miss out on anything by being one of the first kids to jump in like Captain Boomies. And for most folks, it's not about the swag anyway. It's about being a part of something cool. What could possibly go wrong? Thanks to Tefilio, Gant Pete, Stephanie Mistress of the West, Viking Diver, and A Pirate and His Queen for the latest 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for the latest kind book reviews from Al, David, Dennis, Carl, Howard, Neil, Melanie, and Carnis. Special shout out to Howard. Your review in particular was a nice kick in the fuel tank, full of detail, and you even managed to mention the podcast. But I read every review and appreciate every one of them. And big thanks to Grammy-winning engineer Karen Green for mixing this episode. If you're in need of excellent audio work, you can now find Karen on the Upwork platform, and you can go straight to her profile at hownottosail.com/Karen. That's K-A-R-E-N. Don't forget to get Latitudes and Attitudes free online at hownottosail.com/thanksbob. In fact, you can find everything How Not to Sail at hownottosail.com, including this week's show notes at hownottosail.com/13. You can also find my YouTube interview with Nathan and Vivian of Ocean Passages and a link to my guest appearance on the Shooting the Breeze sailing podcast with my friend Captain Jeffrey Wedding. Meanwhile, keep the bottom paint facing downward, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
Thank you, Debbie.